Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
Oh, yeah.
I know it was the blood.
For bread.
Yeah. Your worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this for that and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. So glad that you have stopped by today. Well, let's have a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to take my eyes off the things of the world and place them on you and the vast provision you have made for me through your grace today, dear Heavenly Father. I believe that life in your kingdom include everything I could possibly need in this world. I thank you for giving me more than enough today. In the blessed name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. Well, today, our lesson we're talking about today in the Word of God is, how can I warn others of God's judgment? I'm glad you asked. You know, as I was studying this lesson, warning others of God's judgment against sin is fraught with risk. You know, those warnings often risk being viewed as judgment, hypocritical, and mean. You know, furthermore, they run the risk that such reaction might contain an element of truth. You know, on the other hand, humble and honesty, warning others of God's judgment. And that's what you have to do. You have to be humble and you need to be honest when you're warning God's people of danger. You know, God's judgment is at its core an act of love, concern. You know, the example that the biblical prophet gave it, such as warning, not to mention that master's example, the Lord Jesus gave, provided motivation and guidance for Christians to use opportunity to humble and honest warn others of God's judgment against sin. You know, today Christ Jesus will one day return for the purpose of judging all people. You say, well, how can I warn others of God's judgment? First, tell it like it is, warning them. Don't be round the roof. Tell them what the Word of God says. And the goal is to help everyone understand why Christians are to remain humble in light of God's judgment against sin. especially an opportunity they have to humble and honestly warn others of God's judgment. You know, because God holds all people accountable for their sin. Not some, all of them. He take initiative to warn us about his judgment. And as I read and studied at the beginning of the Bible, you can go to Genesis 2 and 17. And you can read it at your leisure. But, you know, God warned Adam and Eve of the grave consequence of disobeying his command not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just like God is warning us today. God continued to warn his people, the often sinning prophets, to confront his people in their sin. People nowadays don't want to hear tell of a prophet. If a prophet comes to town, they're running. They don't want anything to do with the prophet. But God said in his word, he sent prophets to tell you what is going on. You know, God continued to warn his people. And that means often sending prophets to confront his people in their sins and to warn them of impending judgment should they fail to repent. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to repent. Come to him. And today our topic is, how can I warn others of God's judgment? First of all, you got to tell it like it is. You can't beat around the bush. You got to let them know exactly what God is saying. You know, the Lord handed his people over to Nebuchadnezzar because they refused to repent of their sin against him. You'll find that in Daniel 1, in the first chapter, 1 through 2. And you know, God is sovereign over all people, not just his covenant people. And he will judge them according to his decree. You know, when we think about that, God disrupted Nebuchadnezzar's life with a troubled dream of intimate personal disaster. Some of you all went through that. Humbly afflicted, Nebuchadnezzar was humble after boasting of his kingdom, building accomplishment. But God reduced him to the life of a metal animal. Did you know, just think about it. Don't put your head and your face and your stuff so far up there that you think nothing can touch you. God is sitting high and he's looking low. He can touch you. Maybe I can't do nothing to save, well, even with me telling you the truth. You don't want to listen to me, but you know there's a God that sees everything that we do, no matter who we are. He's seen what we're doing, what we're saying. And you know, as I read that about Nebuchadnezzar, you know, God interrupted the relevance of a man's hand writing a cryptic message on the wall, alarming the king who used the temple vessels to party. You find that in the word of God also in Daniel 5, 1 and 12. You know, God used Daniel to show Belshazzar the error of his way. I'm just telling you some things of how God warned, how can I warn others of God's judgment. It's in the Bible. He's warning his people in the word of God. You know, and he showed Belshazzar the errors of his ways and the grave consequence of failing to honor the one true God. We only have one God, you all. And we got to do what he said do. And you know, what about us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Are we better than any Chaldeans? No. We need to acknowledge the reality that all people, we as well as others, are sinners. And that sin is the root cause of all our self-centered and corrupt behavior. You know, our lives might not resemble life in ancient Babylon, but our sins look the same from God's perspective. You know, if we believe we can harbor that secret sin hidden from the prying eyes of others and enjoy it at our leisure, we need to learn from Belshazzar's story and sin corrupt. Like I said earlier, we'll go on in the dark, we'll come to the light. God sitting high and he looking low. Our family, our friends may not know what we're doing, but God, He know he's the ultimate judge. He know what we're doing, whether we're doing right or we're doing wrong. You know, here God had give a warning to his people. God confronted them. God in his time and in his way confronted people in their sin, which he do today. For Belshazzar, the confrontation came in form of the finger of a man's hand that appeared and began writing on the plaster of the king's wall. You know, this was not a visionary experience, but rather a miraculous appearance that everyone present was able to see. You know, this gave risk to the modern expression, the handwriting on the wall. You know, you've heard people say that. Well, that's where that come from, the handwriting on the wall, from Daniel 5, 5 through 6. You can go to your Bible and read it if you haven't tore your pages out. You know, the writing appeared on the wall next to a lampstand where it could be seen clear. Here the lamp was on. And I can remember years gone by when I lived in another state. And I get up reading my word every morning. But the Lord started me to where, when I would wake up on a white wall, that's what took me to this scripture, handwriting on the wall, where he had wrote scriptures on the wall. And when I would tell people that, they say, you crazy, All I had to do was read the whole thing. It was on the wall every morning for me. I read it, it disappeared. The very next morning, it was on the wall again. The same chapter, maybe the rest of the verses. But I kept wondering, Lord, why am I the only one seeing this here? But you've given me the word of God to hide it in my heart where I may not sin against you. It's written on the wall. And when I started doing this program today, I thought about that, the handwriting on the wall. You know, the timing of the moment connecting the appearance of man's hand to blasphemer mentioned in the previous verse, God got Belshazzar's attention. The king watched the hand that was writing the message of his doom. Well, God had my attention. Every morning I could read the word of God. He had it on the wall that I could see. And I would see, you know, you say, well, how did you see that? It wasn't in the natural. It was in the supernatural. That's why nobody else could see it. It was in the supernatural until you tap in to the supernatural, not realizing that at the time it was the supernatural. But you know, I'm not crazy. I know I'm reading this. I know I see it on the wall in black and white. The wall is white. The letters where I can see it on the wall. Don't get me started today with that. You know, the king who had been so arrogant and sure of himself just a moment before was frightened by what he saw. Well, what God had put on the wall, I didn't get frightened because I was in the spirit as I was reading it. You know, his face turned pale. His thoughts were terrified. His hip joint shook. His knees knocked together. You know, this description conveyed a complete loss of composure, mental anguish, evidence by physical manifestation from top to bottom. You know, it was a picture of pure. You know, God's judgment of sin is no laughing matter. No, it's not. First, tell it like it is. Don't keep nothing, put nothing up under the rug. Tell it like God gave it to him. God gave you a message for somebody, whether they receive it or not, you discharge your door and you do what God say do. Give it to them. You know, the king as yet did not know the meaning of the inscription. The manner in which it was delivered cut to his heart and immediately removed all brashness from his deportment. And you say, well, what about us? Well, are we all aware that God confronts us in our sins today as well? We are equally wise to understand what God holds all ourselves as well as others. You know, accountable for our sins, that he take initiative to confront us about. And when you go to John 16, the Holy Spirit was sent to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know, God might prompt a Christian friend to confront us with a gentle spirit. But when you think about it, the Lord also might confront us through the preaching of the word. You find it in Acts 2, 22 and 38. You know, we might be a prompt to repent as we listen to someone else share his or her testimony. And sometimes, you know, that's why we hear a lot of testimony. Sometimes some people just need to repent on some things that they have said or done, and God have to remind you. Sometimes people, I think, take, you know, amnesia, and they forget easily. But God got a way of bringing it back to your remembrance. So before we step away from God's commandment and decide to dabble in sin, we should be warned. God confronts sinners. You know, and when I thought about what a unique way has God confronted you in your sins, did you think about that today? What was your response when he brought it to your attention? Did you repent? Did you go to him? Or did you just call yourself shaking it off? Mm-mm. You got to be humble. You know, even in Daniel, Belshazzar called in his media. He thought that was going to help the Chaldea, the astrologer, just looking for someone to read the inscription on the wall and to give its interpretation. But when God has a message for you, he'll give you that message. Everybody can't give you the message God have given to you or interpreted. I remember years gone by, it was some chapters he kept taking me to. And I was reading it, and I think I was getting to understand it. But for some way, I figured, wait a minute, this little beyond me. And every minister I went to, he could never give me the clear understanding what God was telling me, for me. So when I came upon a prophet, I asked the prophet. Prophet took me some different scriptures, had me to read it and explain what it said. And after I talked with a prophet, that's what came to light. All them years I had been going, God was taking me to these scriptures every day. It was for a reason. And I was trying to make heads or tail of it. I said, okay, God, what is you saying? So when I moved here, I said, okay, let me start finding out, because I was still reading it. What is it about this scripture for my life? And so once the prophet explained it to me, it was crystal clear. That's why I'm telling you, everybody cannot tell you about the handwriting on the wall. God going to have to reveal that to you or through his prophets. You know, the inability to these wise men to read the inscription or to give it interpretation only worsened the king's confused state of mind. Because you can be confused in your mind. The king's wife, however, informed him of the extraordinary ability of Daniel. Just like I tell him, I have the sixth sense and all this, you know. But though Daniel's skills was attributed to the spirit of God in him. When you have the spirit of God in you, he will revelate things to you from others, men and women of God, that he have already predestined for your life or ordained to give you that word. You know, Christians know the truth. The spirit of the one true God empowered Daniel and provided his insight. My. You know, the king informed Daniel of the inability of his other advisors to interpret the inscription. You know, then he appealed to Daniel's ability to give interpretation and solve problems. You know, how ironic that the king would appear to the servant of the very God he had just blasphemed by drinking from the temple vessel and praising false God. We better know, people, who we serving, a true and a living God. Not a false God, but a living God that would direct us. How can I warn others of God's judgment? First, tell it like it is. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't try to hide nothing under the rug. Give them what God have given to you. Because don't you know you'll be charged for not delivering what he given to you? You say you his eyes, you his hands, you his feet, you his mouthpiece. Well, when he give it to you, in your spirit and in your mouth, speak what he have given to you, but make sure it's your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that give it to you. You know, the king asked Daniel to read that inscription. But you know, the vision of the finger of the man's hand writing on the wall had terrified the king. But he wanted to know the meaning of the inscription the finger had written. He told Daniel if he could both read and interpret this description, he would be clothed in purple, have a gold chain about his neck, and have the third highest position in the kingdom. You know, this gift would mark Daniel as an honor and powerful servant of the king. But you know, the theme of the Israelite rising to position of high authority in foreign kingdom is found elsewhere in the lives of Joseph, Moses, Mordecai, and Esther. You know all the things. I'm just bringing up a few that they did, what they warned the people, what God had said. You know, in each case, God used his servant to provide his people as well as others. You know, however, Daniel's situation was different. Certainly, Daniel recognized that the king was offering something he would not have the ability to fulfill. You remember, Daniel was more interested in serving one true God than receiving any gift the king might offer. And that's what it is with us. We want what God has for us today. We are not, oh, we have a caller that have come to the air today. Let's see what this caller is saying today. Good morning, caller. You're now on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Overwhelmed.
Well, praise God. You wanted to talk on our topic today, how can I warn others of God's judgment?
Well, what you just said a minute ago sparked something I went through a few years ago in my former church, that we had to be bold to preach the gospel. I kid you and the listeners not, that I was told by my leadership at my church, former church, excuse me, that I was too bold, I was too blunt, and I was too controversial. But I was speaking what God told me to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, here we are at a church that's supposed to be by God, saving folks from the leadership of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm too bold? No, I ain't bold enough, if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So God had spoke to me on February 2nd, 2009. I'll never forget it. And I'm hard-headed. But God told me, get up on this pew and remove yourself from this church. Now, at that time, I was immature. I was hard-headed. And still is hard-headed. But I sat there until October 9th. And from February to October, all hell broke loose in my life because I was disobedient. I did not do what God called me to do. If I had did what God called me to do, who knows where I'd be right now. But when God says move, we better move. And I thank God for Daniel when he was told that he had to pray don't pray to God no time, but pray to this king. No. Daniel said, no, I'm going to move in God's favor, which is my favor, but for God's glory. So if I'm stagnant in the position I am now, what would I be? But when God said, pray to me, that's what we got to do. Not for no glory, not for no gratification or glorification of our own self. I don't mean to be too sermonic, but it's coming out. But when God says move, we better move just like that. That's all I got to say.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Arkansas.
From Arkansas. Well, I am so glad to have you on the show. But you know, that is so true. How can I warn others of God's judgment? And from what I'm gathering from what you're saying on the air today, you had to do just like I beginning my topic. First, tell it like it is. You got to warn God's people of what God is saying. God warned you and told you to remove yourself from where you were. I went through quite a few similar situations where he told me one Sunday, do you want to sit on this pew and die? And when that voice spoke to me, I looked around and I knew it was God, but I'm looking. I'm sitting there saying, wait a minute. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, Lord, I don't want you to take me from the church. I'm not like that. No, let me get up and get my act together. You know, I had to remove myself, and you're not the only one, sir, from Arkansas. God has moved a lot of the men and women of God from different areas of their life where they have been so comfortable. And, you know, just because you've been there for 15 years, you feel like, you know, everything hunky-dory. But when God takes the scales off of your eyes, and like you say, if you had not moved, and when you did move, hell had to break loose before you really got up and moved. He had to open up, woo, hell's fire, hell's kitchen as it is, and get you up out of there. I bet you run like you had gasoline on the other end of you.
And we have too many preachers who preach these feel-good messages. No, I'm coming with God says that for me to come with, and if it makes you feel uncomfortable, to God be the glory.
Mm.
Stepping on toes, bunions, corns, everything.
And, you know, well, I go back to Daniel. You know, Daniel wanted to abort any notion that God had given gifts of reading and interpreted the scripture could be purchased. You can't buy the gift that God give you. I don't care how much silver and gold somebody want to offer you, mansion, how, what God give you, God give you. No money, no house, no land, no cars can take the place of what God had put down on the inside of you. And, you know, Daniel had to let him know. You know, Daniel did not seek to gain personal from an excess of gifts God had bestowed upon him. Daniel agreed to read the and to make the interpretation known to the king. But Daniel honored God in the way he offered his servant while humble, declining to accept the king's gift. That's what's going on. So many people, even in politics now, churches and everywhere, they're receiving all these big gifts. But they forgot what God put you there for. God put you there to tell it like it is, not to compromise the word of God. No matter if you ain't got no friends, you ain't looking for brownie punk. You want to serve God. You say, I'm going to do this for you, Lord. Well, why? You contracting what you done told God you going to do. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, my major words I was using throughout my topic today is humble, honesty, and confront. You know you need to come to God humble. You need to be honest with him and anybody that you come in contact with, that you minister the word of God. And you got to confront that demon and that devil. No matter who it is, if it's family members, if they ain't right, you got to confront them. You got to tell it like it is. You know, and you probably say, what about us? Well, God often used believers to help others realize the danger of living in rebellious against him and under sin's control. You know, when God chose to use us in this way, we need to act humble. We need to realize we too are sinners, saved only by God's grace. You know, the humble spirit on our part, rather than a computational spirit of judgment, can gain the hearing of someone trapped in sin. You know, and when you think about witness someone else humble, using that God-given gifts, help you examine your own relationship with God. You got to be honest, because judgment is coming. You know, Daniel remind the Belshaddai's of the glory and power acquired by one of his preceders, Nebuchadnezzar. Yet when Nebuchadnezzar exalted his heart and became arrogant, God judged his sin and took away his glory. Think about how many people you've seen fall by the wayside when they want to put everything else above God. And their kingdom come tumbling down, they thought was their kingdom still the word of God. You know, God judges his sin and took away his glory. You know, instead of learning from Nebuchadnezzar's experience, Belshazzar ignored the past and refused to humble his heart. You know, there are so many people out there today don't want to humble themselves before God. But the word is telling us, humble yourself. Be honest with yourself. Confront that sin that's in you. Get it out. Ask God to remove it. Go to him in prayer. Confess, repent, You know, Daniel had to remind Belshazzar that he had not glorified the God who had held his life breath in his hand and who controlled the whole course of his life. You know, and the reason that King should confess his own and repent of his haughty spirit was because he owed his very life to God, just like us. We owe our very life. You know, Daniel connected the king's sinful act to the appearance of the hand and the writing that was inscribed on the wall. Just think about how many people may listen to this broadcast, whether it's today, this afternoon, or next week, where God have been showing them some handwriting on the wall in some of the bodies of Christ. I'm not picking on nobody's sanctuary, but just think about it. A lot of you that have gotten to where you needed to be through the spirit realm, God had to move you from one place to another. He saw where you was at, you wasn't being fed, or he saw where you was at, you wasn't being fed, and you was not growing. You couldn't go no further. He wanted you to go further, but you couldn't go no further than where your leader was at. Your leader couldn't teach you anymore. So you become stagnated. And see, that's what happened. See, you became stagnated, the gentleman from Arkansas, but God had to shake you up. Just shake your foundation and say, come on, get up. You got to shake this stuff off. Are you still there, Arkansas?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here. You know what? You are so true, because at that time, in October, they discovered him. Somebody found him caught in the act of adultery. And that's when I had to go. But if I had left earlier in February, it wouldn't have affected me as much, you know.
You had your warning.
Did I have my warning.
He gave you a bunch of warnings, but you decide to move. You had to let all chaos break out before you move. And he was trying to snag you of that.
Yeah, and I stopped growing. I mean, the leadership was not right for me at that time. I became, like you just said, stagnant. I'm like, wow, this woman, she's talking to me. How she know? She on the fly on the wall. But yeah, you are so right. I mean, I grew stale. That was just crazy.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, that's why we have to do what God say do, you know. When God called Daniel to deliver a message of judgment to Belshazzar, he had to face the possibility that people might view him as judgmental, hypocritical, or even unkind. But you know, when you look at it, Daniel's age and experience had helped him to deliver the message that the king needed to hear. You know, we have to go through the flood, through the fire and everything to come out as pure gold as God wanted. We have to be tested and tried to do what God have called us to do. No matter what people say, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't be in there, you should. But what did God say? Was there that when God called you? Was they there when God gave you the handwriting on the wall? No. Was you there when he told them what to do? All you going by is what they say. We say, they say, can say, will do. But what is God saying to do? How can I warn others of God's judgment? And the word today is, tell it like it is. We can't do nothing without God. And we know judgment is coming every day. Every day we see the handwriting on the wall. Whether you per se seeing it on the natural wall, in the carnal, in the spiritual realm. But when you look around the world situation today, you see the handwriting on the wall. All these things that's happening, that's judgment. Cities, states, people. Leaders falling because they are not doing and obeying the word of God. How can I warn others of God's judgment? Today my word is, tell it like it is. Warn others of God's judgment. Don't worry about what they're going to think or what they say. If you open your mouth and ask God to fill it, have said to to the people of God. We are getting ready to close. Young man from Arkansas, would you like to say anything else before we start signing off for today?
Yeah, one more thing. Unfortunately, I have not found a new home church because we're in the process of moving Arkansas to up north.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, something up there will open up for God willing. But even in my search for new churches down here, that I personally the pastor, they would not receive me.
Mm-hmm.
They would deceive me and lying, not helping me out in my ministry. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Instead of me getting upset about it, getting mad, I saw it coming. I shut the shop down because it wasn't right for me. And these were personal
mm-hmm.
friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So emphasis on friends. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Now they're called, not even associates, but they're dissociates. Because I just had told God, I'm tired. I'm dealing with idiots. I'm tired of immaturity. I'm tired of these so-called preachers, as I call my friends. I'm done with this, Lord. And God
mm-hmm.
said, well, you should have. It's about time. God said, it's about time, because what you're needing is me and not them.
Ah.
So that's all I got to say.
Oh, well, thank you so much, caller, for coming on
you're
the
welcome.
Air today. And do check out our program next week. We're going to have another exciting topic. Even if, as you move north, we want you to tune in. And the topic is going to be next week, why is it important that I develop a disciplined prayer life? Never give up on prayer. So stay tuned for next week when we'll be on again next week at the same time, same date, if all goes well, in the Jesus' name. Looking forward to hear all of my listeners. And I have another listener. I know she's working, but she's trying to listen in on her job. Thank you so much, listener from Georgia, Stone Mountain, Georgia, for coming in. Thank you so much. And all those that I don't know your name or your states, thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next week, be blessed. And I'll send us out with us. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want.
One other thing that the saints in the old church had great confidence in. Yes, they believed that they could make a positive confession. They believed that they could speak to mountains and mountains would disappear. But they also believed in the power of prayer. And in that day, if people had telephones, most of them, their telephones had party lines. And you were in good shape if you didn't have but one party on your line. Some lines had multiple parties. So they envisioned themselves having a straight line to heaven. And there was something about it that when they felt a Holy Ghost connection in their spirit, they heard the Holy Ghost say, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Evangelist Patricia Crutcher.